What if you could learn from other people's mistakes in business? If you're wanting to start a business, grow a business, make a business successful or profitable, would it be nice to avoid the mistakes, the waste of time challenges, the waste of money challenges that have stopped other people from growing their business or starting their business or making their business successful or profitable? What if you could just skip that horrible bit of making all those stupid mistakes? Now, I can't do that because I've made all the stupid mistakes. What I'm really excited about is that you can now learn from mine so you don't have to make mine. And on a day-to-day basis, if you are living in a world with your eyes wide open and your brain wide open to keep learning, is it possible that every business you go into, every business that you experience, will be able to teach you something about what to do really well and what not to do ever because it's a stupid mistake? If I had to pick two or three, and people ask me this question quite regularly, Rowie, what's the biggest mistakes that people make in business? And that's probably a really great conversation for us to have personally, because your personal experience in business, what you've already done, what you've already experienced, you could have your own big long list of stupid mistakes I've already made. And here's a great suggestion given to me a very long time ago. Rowie, mistakes are fantastic. Just don't make them twice. Learn from your mistakes. So you've probably got a list that you have or are already learning from. But it's interesting, if you're just starting in business, could it be a good idea to chat to some folks who are really successful in that business? And I say that very carefully. First of all, what do you determine to be successful? What kind of success do you want to have? What does success mean to you in business? And I'll just quickly give you the it's an interesting mathematical equation. I'm not really a fan of maths, but this one makes a great deal of sense to me. Your success in business is simply this, that you invest the number of hours into your business that suits your lifestyle. So how many hours do you want to work? I call it play, of course. So how many hours a week do you want to play in your business? There's only 168 hours in everybody's week. It's the one thing that we have in common. So how many of those hours are you going to invest into your business? The next question is, how much money do you want to earn? And not to have a lousy, stinking, bill-paying financial situation. So yes, I can pay all of my lousy, stinking, rotten bills. Awesome. No. How about the financial situation that you want to be in that gives you a life where you don't have to think about money anymore? And I often ask this question, would it be nice to not have a price tag determine whether or not you can buy something? So that the reason that you purchase something, the reason you put something into your life is because you want it and it's going to add value to your life, not determined by the price tag. So that's just a financial freedom philosophy to consider. How much money do you need to earn so that you can be financially free? Then, of course, you have to work out what the expenses are going to be in your business. So you add up how much you are going or you want to earn, how much profit you want to make, add your expenses to that, divide that by the number of hours that you want to invest into your business, and that will then tell you how much to charge. Now, once you've got that sorted, now it's about attracting the right number of clients at the right times. And I'll say this very passionately, the right kind of people. Who do you want to play with? Who do you want to hang out with? Isn't business meant to be about, yes, choose your own hours, yes, be your own boss, yes, earn the amount of money that you want to earn, yes, go on holidays when you want to go on holidays, but ultimately, be with the people that add value to your life. What's the use of making a whole stack of money, but every time you go to invest time in your business, it's with people that you don't like or you don't respect or you don't find exciting or interesting to be with? So who do you want to play with? Then how do you attract those people? And the really special thing then is, how do I stop the mistake that means I won't attract those people into my business? And so I want to share just some simple experiences, and you've probably learned from these already, but just some things to consider when it comes to why people would start coming to your business, why they would never come to your business, or why they may be in your business and then stop coming. And there's a big long list, but these are just some really interesting things to consider. So there's that. Number one is that first thing that we only get one chance to make, which is a first impression. Is it possible that if we screw up that first impression, that not only will that person never come into our business, never buy our product, never do business with us, but they will tell other people about their first impression with us and tell other people not to come to us either. And of course, in a world now of social media, that's not just a likelihood, that's a high probability. So I'll give you a couple of examples. If somebody comes into your business and you are just closing up, there's a classic, and I'll give you some personal experiences. So it's the end of the day for you, but for the person coming into your business, they're coming in for a reason. So if they're walking into your retail facility or they're contacting you via phone or via the internet, but it's the end of your day, so you don't want to be there anymore. How do you treat those people? Do they deserve to be treated any less important than anybody else that comes into your business at a time that suits you? So I'll probably rephrase that question. At any time of the day, do you treat all people respectfully, kindly, warmly, graciously, whatever it is that's important to you? I might even say professionally, but I'm going to say that hesitatingly, because sometimes the professional way that we answer the phone or we treat people when they come into our business is what actually turns them off, because we're so uppity, hoity-toity and professional is the reason why people don't want to do business with us, because we're not a real person, we're a professional person. I'll leave that alone for a minute. It's the end of the day. Somebody comes to your business, you want to go home. What do you do? So here's an example, and I've used this before. I have a hairdresser that's been my hairdresser for a really long time, because when I walked into the hairdressing facility, the people that I presume owned the business or were managing the business closed the door. As they saw me walking towards the door, and they closed the door. It was like, I presume that the hairdressers closed at 5 o'clock. I can't remember the exact time. Anyway, so I went, okay, I can't go there. But it was interesting because they knew how many times I'd been there before, and there was no smile, see you next time, would you like to book for tomorrow? They just closed the door. Interestingly, one of the hairstylists followed me to my car and he said to me, Roey, I know that you want to get your hair cut, come in, I'll cut it for you. Now, he didn't own the business. He was then my hairdresser. When I say he was my hairdresser, if I go to Auckland, he still is my hairdresser. And he was my hairdresser. I can't remember the exact number of years, but let's say it was a decade. Let's say it was 10 years. That's a long time. And for me, who gets my hair cut every 2 weeks, that's a lot of haircuts. Simply because at the end of the day, instead of I've got to get out of here, I've had a busy day, I want to go home, he invested the 20 minutes it takes to cut my hair. There's an interesting one. Have you ever been into a restaurant or a cafe at closing time and you're hungry or you'd like a cup of coffee or you'd like a glass of wine and they just say, we're closed? Interesting. You might want to go back there tomorrow. Maybe they've got takeaway. Maybe you could bring a whole party of your business associates there for a meal next week and spend $5,000. They don't know that. That somebody saying to you, we're closed, just says, go away. You might as well say, go away. How about, thank you for coming to our restaurant or cafe. Really excited that you want to eat with us or have a drink with us. We've actually closed the kitchen, but what can we do? I want to give you a really great reason to come back. So how about when you come back, we'll do a round of drinks as our gift, or a bottle of wine as our gift, or desserts as our gift. We would love you to come back. So please, can we have your details, your business card? We want to make sure that even though you can't eat today, that there's a wow experience and a reason for you to come back. And they give you something, and or they have your details and follow up on that. And I'll take that a step further. If people are coming into your business, whether it's online, face-to-face, retail, commercial, professional, doesn't matter. The business that has the most people on their database is worth more money than the same business with a smaller database. So the more telephone numbers, email addresses, Facebook accounts, people's names that you can put onto your database, the more your business is worth. Isn't that exciting? So don't let people leave. Don't let people come in contact with your business without getting their details. But if they're going to come in contact with your business and you can't help them right now, make sure you give them a really exciting reason to come back. So I use the cafe and restaurant as an example. Because for somebody like me who I don't have a kitchen, literally, we've got a microwave and a barbecue because we don't cook. We eat out a lot at our house. For me to go to a cafe or restaurant and the first thing they say to me is, we're closed. And that's usually what happens, isn't it? We're closed or the kitchen's closed. And that's it. Often that's all you get. And I just want to shake them or hug them and say, please don't do that to anybody, because you don't understand how detrimental that could be to your business. So if somebody comes in contact with you, they should always say, wow, I've had a great experience with that business, whether they've been able to serve you or not. I went into a retail store just recently, same again, it was obviously closing time, and the young person, as I walked in the door, she looked at me, and this is the first thing she said to me, we're closing in 10 minutes. She was madly folding T-shirts, etc. Not, hello, thank you for coming to the store. Have you had a wonderful day? How can I make your day even better? By the way, the door to this store will be closing in 10 minutes, but if you would like to come back tomorrow, I could personally give you a tour of all the amazing things in my store. I know I'm a passionate, positive person, and I would love for everybody to be more passionate and more positive. But just to say to somebody, we're closing in 10 minutes, and that was it. That was the end of the communication. She may work for that business and has no understanding of the danger that she's putting that business in. If she's doing that to me, she's doing that to other people. But that's actually not her fault, because if she's employed there and she hasn't been trained properly, or she's employed there and that kind of behavior is acceptable in a retail store, then of course the owners of that business would have to take responsibility for that. So when people come in contact with your business, what is the first impression? And remember, we only get one chance to make that. And every time, because we just don't get, there is no second. It's called first impression for a reason. So what are we going to do to make sure that the first impression is something that's memorable? Now, just as an interesting side note, memorable for your target market. There are people who would never do business with me because I'm too happy, I'm too positive. I call Monday magical days and Tuesday terrific days, and I use lots of adjectives. I'm a happy, positive person. And I am completely aware that that turns a lot of people off because they're just not that kind of a person. I'm going to ask you this question. Whether you are highly professional, whether you're loads of fun, whether you're passionate and positive, whether you're clinical and analytical, it doesn't matter. Whoever you are, and I'll go back to the original question, who do you want to play with? I don't want to play with boring, analytical, research-based people who can't smile, don't have a joke, and don't want to have a laugh. I'm not interested in those kind of people. So my personality will turn those people off because I don't want to play with them anyway. How about you? And I'm not sharing that to be disrespectful. I'm sharing that because life is really short. If we're really lucky, we might get 100 years. There's only 7 days, 168 hours in everybody's week. There's only 52 weeks in a year, and we don't get that many years. So if you are forced to do business with people that don't like your personality, there's a good one. The people that say to me, Roey, you're too positive and you can't be that happy and you're unrealistically happy and you're obnoxiously happy. To be told that all the time is not something that I'm interested in. I don't want that kind of influence in my life. I would love to be involved with people that are positive and happy and optimistic and solution-finding and want to have a great time and want to have a laugh. Now, that's me, and I'm sharing that with you because the way you treat people on first impression will be possibly, I'll ask the question, the people that you attract into your business. So if you're very clinical and analytical and professional, is it possible that that's the kind of clientele you will attract? If you are fun and positive and tell jokes and it's a fun time at your business, is it possible that that's the kind of people you will attract? So it's probably go a step backwards and say, okay, who are we? What do we stand for? What are those five words to describe who we are? And then be that person on the first impression and every other time that somebody comes into your business. The really interesting one when it comes to first impressions, because I've been involved in health clubs for such a long time, there's two really special stories I'd like to share with you. If you haven't heard this one before, or even if you have, please take note. I had a lady come to my health club in Brisbane, Australia, And when she came through the front door, this was an important part of our training process, was to congratulate and thank people for coming to the gym. So many people don't come. So it was always about coming out from behind the desk, welcoming, that's a great word, everybody into the gym. Thank you for coming and congratulations. It's great to see you. But if it was a face that you hadn't seen before, the question was, have you been here before? And this beautiful woman shared with the receptionist at my health club that she had, this was the 9th time that she'd been to the health club, but or tried to come to the health club, but she hadn't been in. So she shared that the first time she'd got into the car and then went back inside the house. The next time she'd driven out the driveway, went back, parked the car, went back inside the house. The 8th time that she'd come to the health club, she'd parked the car, seen a whole heap of women dressed in little clothes, felt totally intimidated and drove back home again. So this was the 9th time that she'd come to the health club. And luckily, I'll say that because that's actually a ridiculous word, there's no luck involved. If you want to create a great first impression, that's about training and preparing everybody to be involved in that beautiful process. So yes, the receptionist came out from behind the front desk and said, "Welcome to the club. Thank you for coming. Have you been here before? What's your name? Have you been here before?" And Gina shared, "No, this is the 9th time I've tried to come. This is the first time I've come inside." Imagine if somebody comes into your business and they've tried 9 or 8 times to come, but they were too scared to come in, and finally they'd come into your business. And imagine if the first thing that happened when she walked into the health club was, which is something that's happened to me multiple times, too many times that I even want to count, when I've walked into health clubs and gyms and personal training studios, where the person at the front desk has either been talking to another personal trainer or receptionist at the front desk, or they've been on Facebook, or they've been on their phone, and they kind of look up but not really. They don't smile. They don't make any major recognition that there's somebody there. And at most health clubs now, of course, if there's not usually a frontline person anyway, but you just swipe yourself in. So if somebody sees you, nobody tends to say hello. Can I just give you the really important statistics on that? The number one reason why people leave a business is the indifference of one staff member. The indifference, meaning the opposite to love, which is I care about you, you're important to me, I respect you, I acknowledge you is really important. And I use that A-R-A-U-T, a root, which you use at Max all the time, which is I acknowledge you, I respect you, I accept you, I understand you. And touch, which is sometimes complicated, of course, but it might be shaking hands or just physically touching somebody, sorry, non-physically touching somebody, but touching their heart because you give them a huge big smile and make them feel really welcome. So that's the definition of love according to the clinical psychologist. The opposite to that is indifference, where I don't care whether you're there or not. And unfortunately, I've been into too many businesses, I'm sure that you have too, where I've actually said this before, I think I must have my invisible suit on because there is no acknowledgement that I'm even here. People are so indifferent to their customers and clients that they don't even care whether they're there or not. So what I'm asking, please, from my heart to yours, if you're really passionate about your business and you really want to attract your target market into your business, doesn't matter what kind of personality you have, there are no personalities on the planet that want to be ignored. There are no personalities that want to be treated rudely, and there are no personalities that want to be treated indifferently. Now, there are some people that would be really uncomfortable with, "Roey, hey, how are you?" with a big happy smiley face, "Welcome to the club, it's great to see you." I get that some people would not be comfortable with that, but that's called training. And I'm fully aware that there are lots of different personality styles, and we need to match and mirror people's personality styles. But to do that, we actually have to make a connection. We can't be indifferent. So if somebody comes into your business, what is the first impression that they will get? And please don't let it be looking up from a Facebook page and looking back down again. Another really unfortunate one was Kayman and I went into a very large health club in Melbourne in Australia, and there was nobody at the front desk. So that's pretty indifferent. There was just nobody there. So we just walked in and we wanted to have a look. Somebody had recommended that we go to this health club because it was beautiful. The dollar investment on equipment and facility set up and the toilets and the everything. It was like a 5-star resort spa. It was just beautiful. But there was no one at the front desk. So we just walked in because we wanted to have a look. The next thing we hear, and by the way, we were dressed in suits and we looked, obviously, we looked like professional people, A, because we are, but we were physically, we were dressed in suits. We weren't dressed in exercise clothes. And I hear this, "You're supposed to sign in," coming from somewhere in the health club. And I turned around and it was a young girl who obviously had been taught that nobody can come to the health club unless they sign the book or swipe their card or whatever it was. But that was the initial first impression that we received from that health club. "You're supposed to sign in," or "you didn't sign in." I can't remember. I just remember feeling like a small child being chastised and it was very uncomfortable. I didn't want to be there anymore because I don't know about you, but I don't like to be spoken to like I'm a child, especially when I'm an adult. But I would love for me, it didn't matter because I'm not from Melbourne, so I wasn't going to join the health club. But imagine if that was the first impression of people going to that health club, somebody who was like my Gina, who had tried 9 times to go to the health club. And imagine if on that 9th time, that was the first impression that she received from that health club. So what I'm asking passionately is business is exciting. It's easy to be successful. It's easy to be profitable if you understand the fundamentals and foundation requirements of being successful in business. And is it possible that we need to find out who we want to play with and then treat those people, in fact, treat all people respectfully. I'll rephrase that for this particular reason. Is it possible that we're judged by the way we treat the people who can't do anything for us? So you might think that this person is not going to be your customer or client, so you treat them poorly. Is it possible that we don't know whether that person's going to be our customer or client or who they're going to send to our business, who they're going to recommend to buy our product or service? We never know. So would it be a great idea just to treat everybody with respect, with kindness, with graciousness, and I'll say love, because love is making sure that people we give people our initial acceptance, understanding, and we touch their heart in some special way. Now, the first part of a root is acknowledgement. That's called, if you want to build a relationship with somebody, you have to acknowledge them. You either look them in the eye or you give them a huge big smile or you use their name or a combination of all of those. That's, of course, common sense. But it seems that common sense is not that common, because think about the last 10 businesses you've been into or come in contact with, either on the phone or via the internet. Have you felt like they've acknowledged you, they have respected you, they've understood you, accepted you, and touched you in some way, physically or mentally? Because that's what building a relationship, that's the actual psychological definition of relationship building, a root, acknowledgement, respect, acceptance, understanding, and touch. Is it possible then that the opposite to that indifference, where I don't even care that you're here, I haven't acknowledged that you're here because I don't care. And that is the number one reason why people will leave a business. So when people ask me that question, "Rowie, what's what's the thing that makes business successful and what are the reasons why businesses fail?" I've given you a quick wrap up. Do what you love. Be the best in the world at it. Add massive value to people's lives, the people that lives that you want to invest time with. Make sure that you invest the time that you want to, so you play when you want to, you earn the amount of money that you want to earn, you invest time with the people that you want to invest time with, and then treat everybody beautifully. And is it possible that people will be attracted to your passion, pass eye on, and your product or service, even if they're never going to use the product or service that you've got, is it possible that they will recommend you to other people? So I'll finish on that one. There's a digger working next door to my house at the moment, and the guy sings all day. He's working on his digger and he sings, and there's no radio to sing to. He just sings to himself, and I love it. So of course I go and talk to him. I have no use for a digger at the moment. This is the important part of this story. I have no reason to dig a hole in the ground at the moment. Interestingly, just today I went and said hello to him. It's lovely. I love that you sing. You're such a great guy. We had a really fun conversation. We exchanged jokes. We just had a great time. And Bazza, because I called him Barry and he said, "No, my name's Bazza." So Bazza and I have this great conversation. Now, this is so funny because just today, my builders called and said, we're getting really close to being able to dig a hole in the ground for your new home. And of course, what did I say? Bazza! We're going to dig holes. We want Bazza. He didn't know that I might want to have a digger. He wasn't trying to sell me his digging services. He doesn't know whether I'm going to ever dig a hole or whether I'm never going to dig a hole. But it was just beautiful to come in contact with somebody that was just a really nice person. And I've got to tell you, I don't want to dig holes with anybody else except Bazza. And I reckon you've probably got stories like mine too, where you've come in contact with people and even if you're never going to use their services, you want to recommend their services to other people because of the great service that you received. So please don't make the mistake of treating people like they're wearing their invisible suit. Please don't make the mistake of treating people indifferently. Please be the person that people want to come in contact with and share you with because you've made them feel so special. Last question, is it possible that people don't remember what we say? They don't even remember what we do. They just remember the way we made them feel. Is it important to make people feel special? Could that be a great question?